on the top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. We'll just quickly recap the last thing we mentioned at the end of the day yesterday. We were trying to figure out who authored the Mishnah on the bottom of the previous daf. The Gemara wanted to suggest that the Mishnah, which was describing the scenario of a person who deposits a barrel by someone else's house, we had a whole distinction about the shomer moves the barrel, it depends why he moved it, it depends if the owner designated a specific place. So the Gemara wanted to suggest that that's reflective of Rabbi Yishmael, because there was a machlokas at the very end of Masechet Bava Kamma between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva regarding a person who steals an item. Does he have to inform the owner that he's returning the item in order to stave off any future liability if anything happens to the item? So Rabbi Yishmael says no. He says once you return the item back to the place that you stole it from, you're good to go. If lightning strikes the item after, that's not your problem anymore. And Rabbi Akiva says no, that's tzarech das bailim. You have to inform the owner. So picking up on that point, the Gemara now says on the top line on Mem Aleph, E Rabbi Yishmael, my iria lo yichdu, afilu yichdu nami. The Gemara says if it's true that our Mishnah from yesterday's daf is reflective of Rabbi Yishmael, that Rabbi Yishmael does not require das bailim. When you steal an item from someone, according to Rabbi Yishmael, you just put the item right back where you stole it from. You don't even have to tell the guy. So too here in the case where the shomer is moving around the barrel, when he puts the barrel back and then it subsequently breaks, that's not his problem. He's not liable. The question is, why does Rabbi Yishmael, why does the Mishnah only speak about a case where the owner does not designate a spot for the barrel to go in the shomer's house? Even if he designated a place for the barrel to go and the shomer carried the barrel and then moved it around and then put it somewhere else. So, in other words, according to Rabbi Yishmael, the shomer should be patur there as well. Because according to Rabbi Yishmael, the shomer does not require das bailim. He doesn't have to inform the owner that he moved the barrel. So the Gemara says, no. Lo mi baya kamar. Lo mi baya yichdu dimakomahu. Ela afilu lo yichdu delav mikomahu. Lo ba'ina das bailim. The Gemara says that the chiddush of Rabbi Yishmael is the following. That certainly in a case where the owner designated a specific spot in the house of the shomer, where we say that is the location of the barrel, but even in a scenario where the original owner does not designate a specific location for the barrel to go, even there, you don't require das bailim. Even in that scenario, the owner does not need to be informed when the barrel is moved and when the barrel is eventually replaced. So asks the Gemara, Ema seifa yichdu la habailim makom vitiltula v'nishbira bein mitoch yado bein mishahinicha litzarko chayev litzarka pater asa'an l'Rabbi Akiva de'amar ba'ina das bailim. The problem is that the seifa of the Mishnah from yesterday's daf seems to contradict this, because the seifa says that if the owner designated a specific location in the shomer's house for the barrel to be stored, and then the shomer decides to move the barrel, so the Mishnah said if the barrel breaks, whether it fell out of his hand or whether he first placed the barrel back down and then it broke, so we said that the only determining factor that matters as to whether the shomer is chayav is basically why did he move the barrel in the first place. If he moved it litzorko, he moved it because it was basically in the way, he wanted to clear space for his own stuff, then he's chayav. But if he moved it litzorka for the sake of the barrel was about to be damaged, so then we said that he's putter. The problem is, says the Gemara, that line in the Mishnah, the seifa of the Mishnah, seems to reflect Rabbi Akiva's position that you require das bailim, because according to Rabbi Yishmael, he says that you don't require das bailim, and therefore the shomer should be putter in both of these scenarios. The problem is, says the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, my iria yichdu afilu lo yichdu nami. If this latter part of the Mishnah is reflective of the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, why does the Mishnah say that you're only chayav in a scenario where the owner designated a specific place in the house of the shomer to store the barrel? Even if he didn't do that, the shomer would still be chayav because he requires das bailim according to Rabbi Akiva. So again, the Gemara says, no, lo mi baya kamar, lo mi baya lo yichdu delav mekomahu, ela afilu yichdu nami de mekomahu ba'ina das bailim. The chiddush is that even in a scenario where the owner designated a specific place, if the shomer moved the barrel, he is still going to have to inform the owner that he touch the barrel, and if he doesn't do so, he is going to be liable. So the question is, Reisha Rabbi Yishmael, V'seifa Rabbi Akiva, does that make any sense that the first part of the Mishnah on yesterday's daf reflects Rabbi Yishmael's position that you don't require das bailim, and that's why the shomer is going to be putter when he moves the barrel, but the seifa reflects Rabbi Akiva's position that you do require das bailim, and that's why the shomer is chayav? So the Gemara says, it's true. To Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Man de Mesargim Lichavis Aliba Dechatana Movalna Mani Basrei Levei Masusa. Rabbi Yochanan comments Rabbanan did, that anyone who can explain to me this Mishnah about the barrel according to one Tana, I'm going to carry his garments to the bathhouse. What does that mean? What Rabbi Yochanan was essentially saying is that there is no other way to resolve this Mishnah. This Mishnah is impossible to reach straight if you try to say that it's reflective of one Tana. The only way to explain the apparent discrepancy between the two scenarios of the Mishnah from yesterday's daf is to say that the Reisha reflects Rabbi Yishmael, that you don't require Das Bailin, that's the reason why the Shomer is Pater, and the Seifa is reflecting Rabbi Akiva, that you do require Das Bailin, and that's why the Shomer is Chayim. And Rabbi Yochanan is saying, essentially, metaphorically, that if anyone can explain to me the Mishnah in any other fashion, I'll carry their clothes for them to the bathhouse. So now the Gemara quotes actually two Amoraim who attempted to resolve this Mishnah according to one Tana. Tirgama Rabbi Yaakov Bar Abba Kamei Derav Shenat La Almanas Legozla. Tirgama Rav Nasan Bar Abba Kamei Derav Shenat La Almanas Leshloach Bayat. The Gemara quotes one of two possible ways to read this Mishnah according to one Tana. One way is to suggest that when the Shomer took the barrel, he was attempting to steal the barrel for himself. So in other words, the way to explain the discrepancy between the Reisha and Seifa in the Mishnah is to suggest the following. In a case where the original owner does not designate a specific place for the barrel, if the Shomer attempted to take the barrel with the intention of stealing it, so that in that scenario, when he puts it back, in other words, he's essentially returning the item he attempted to steal, so now he's no longer obligated. He's no longer Chayav. And in the case where the owner does designate a specific place, if he attempted to steal it, then he's going to be Chayav. You can, and again, you can come up with this solution and not necessarily have to pigeonhole each clause of the Mishnah to, in other words, one to Rabbi Yishmael and one to Rabbi Akiva. You could read the Mishnah according to one Tana by just adding in this factor that the Shomer attempted to steal the barrel. That's one possible solution. The second possible solution is not necessarily that the Shomer attempted to steal the barrel, but that he attempted what's called Shlichus Yad. Shlichus Yad means that we know that most Shomerim, with the exception of a Shoal, as we'll discuss in a little bit, a regular Shomer is not allowed to use the item that he's watching. If you're a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Sachar, your job is to watch the item, not to use the item. And therefore, if a Shomer goes in, if a Shomer Chinam or Shomer Sachar, for example, decides to use the item that they're watching, that's a violation of Shlichus Yad. And if anything subsequently happens to that item, even something that normally would exempt the Shomer, let's say, for example, an Ones occurs. So usually, a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar are both Pater for Ones, but once they've stuck their hand in and used the item, that's it. Then all bets are off. They now become liable. So in the second answer...
Yeah. Have we?
Well, no. I mean, I'm saying that's the whole case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah. This is the opening statement of the Mishnah.
What kind of shomer?
So that's a good question. The Mishnah doesn't specify what kind of shomer he is, but he's definitely a shomer. That's going to be part of the theme of today's daf, is trying to figure out how all of these apply to the different scenarios of different shomerim, but the person is definitely a shomer. The person who's doing this activity is certainly a shomer. The question becomes, what exactly is he doing? Is he trying to steal the barrel? Is he trying to just use the barrel, trying to misappropriate the barrel? That's part of the issue here. So the question, the Gemara just has almost like a technical question here, but my kamiflige, what's the issue exactly? In other words, why does one Amora think that the resolution to this apparent contradiction in the Mishnah is to suggest that the Shomer is attempting to steal the barrel, and the other Amor, Rabbi Nassan, says no, that he's really trying to misappropriate and use the barrel as a Shomer when he's not supposed to. Why does one, why does one Amor shy away from the pshat of the other? So the Gemara says, "B'shlichus yad tzricha chisaron." Man da amar legoz la kasaver shlichus yad tzricha chisaron. Uman da amar leshloach bayad kasaver shlichus yad ina tzricha chisaron. The Gemara suggests that this machlokes is not just a technical machlokes; it's actually a very fundamental machlokes, which is going to actually take up the majority of today's daf, which is the question the question of what exactly are the parameters of this prohibition of shlichus yad. When we say that a shomer goes ahead and misappropriates or uses an item that he's not supposed to be using because he's supposed to be guarding it, the question is that always a problem? In other words, any time a shomer uses an item, does that automatically mean that he's now violated the terms of his shmira and now he's going to be held liable? Or do we say that a shomer is only liable when there's a chisaron, when there's a noticeable financial decrease in the item? He used the item, now the item is worth less than it was before. Then he's going to be held liable. But perhaps if he did something to the item in such a way that doesn't cause any sort of financial loss to the value of the item, perhaps that's not really considered Shlichus Yad. So the first answer in the Gemara that shies away from Shlichus Yad assumes that this case doesn't qualify as Shlichus Yad. Therefore, we have to come up with a different solution, that the Shomer attempted to steal the barrel. So asks the Gemara, Maskifla Rav Sheshes, Midi Natla Katane, Tiltala Katane. So Rav Sheshes takes issue textually with this entire interpretation of the Gemara, because we've been assuming until now that the Shomer is attempting to do something he's not supposed to do, whether it's stealing the barrel, whether it's using the barrel as a shomer. But the problem is that the Mishnah uses the terminology of tiltala. Tiltala doesn't mean that the shomer was trying to take the barrel. It just says that he was moving the barrel. Again, that was the whole discussion we had yesterday. Why is he moving it? Is he moving it because he wants to clear up space for himself? Because he thinks the barrel is going to get damaged? There's no indication from the text of the Mishnah that the shomer is trying to do anything nefarious. It sounds like the Gemara is almost inserting that fact in these cases, and it doesn't seem to be borne out from the text of the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elo Amar Rav Sheshes, Hacha B'mai Eskinan, Kegon Shetiltala, Lahavi Aleha Gozalos, V'kasavar, Shaul Shalom Midas, Gazlan Have, V'chula Rabbi Yishmaeli, V'seifa Shehinicha B'makom She'ena Mekoma, V'Rabbi Yochanan, Hinicha B'makoma Mashma. So comes the Gemara as follows. And Gemara sticks in another Okimda, another scenario into this Mishnah, which is the following. Yes, it's true that the Shomer moved the barrel, which again, on the surface, doesn't sound like there's anything nefarious going on. Either he's moving it for his own sake, or because he wants to make sure the barrel, you know, doesn't get damaged, or whatever the case is. However, the Gemara adds that the reason why the Shomer is moving the barrel is because he wants to use the barrel as a ladder or as a step stool. He wants to go wherever. He wants to go scale up a tree and go take some little chicks, birds, whatever, from the nest. He wants to, you know, whatever. He wants to use the birds. So now he's using the barrel as a step stool, as a ladder. The question is that a violation of the terms of a shlichus? Let's say, for example, he's a shoel, right? So he's now borrowing the barrel, but he's doing so without the consent or the knowledge of the owner. The owner never authorized him to use the barrel as a ladder to go and fetch the birds out of the nest. So the question is he called a gazlan? So the Gemara says that this Shita in the Gemara is assuming that a shoel shelo midas, that in this case the guy who's borrowing the barrel as a ladder without the knowledge of the owner is considered a gazlan. Therefore, the entire Mishnah can be reflective of the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael that really you don't require das bailim at all. And the discrepancy in the Mishnah, the reason why the shomer is chayav in the latter case, is not because you require das bailim. Rabbi Yishmael holds they don't require das bailim. The reason why you're chayav, says the Gemara, is because the term hinicha that says that he placed the barrel there, it means the makom she'ena mekoma. He placed the barrel not in its original location. In other words, he never returned the barrel to the place where it was supposed to be. That's why he's chayav, because he never really satisfied the terms of his shmira. And Rabbi Yochanan, the reason why Rabbi Yochanan was so convinced that there is no way to read this Mishnah, these two clauses in the Mishnah, other than to say that the first clause is Rabbi Yishmael and the second is Rabbi Akiva, and there's no way to say that it's all one Tana, is because he looks at the word Hinicha, and Hinicha assumes or implies that you put the barrel back in the place where you originally found it. And if that's the case, if you restore the barrel back to where you found it, then in fact there is no way to read the Mishnah according to only one Tana, because then the only way to explain why the Shomer is Chayev in the Seifa is to say that we follow Rabbi Akiva, that Sarech Das Bailim. You have to inform the owner that you even moved the barrel in the first place. That would be the only way to read the Mishnah. That's why Rabbi Yochanan gave this whole grandiose statement. He said, I'll carry your clothes to the bathhouse for you if you could explain the Mishnah to me according to one Tana, because according to the way Rabbi Yochanan looked at the Mishnah, there was no way to do that. It was impossible to read the Mishnah according to one Tana, because textually, the word hinicha sounds like you brought the barrel back to where it was. So the only way, the only possible way to explain why a shomer would still be chayav in that scenario is to invoke Rabbi Akiva's position that he still needed to inform the owner that he moved the barrel in the first place. Okay, now the Gemara says Itmar. Rav Velevi.
Yes, sir. That this shomer was a shoel.
So again, that was part of Danny's question from before. We never specified in the Mishnah what the nature of the shomer was. So the Gemara.
I thought you said he was a shoel and he was using it for something.
The Gemara says that because he ends up using the barrel as some kind of a ladder, so he's considered a shoel shalom midas. He's borrowing the barrel without the consent of the owner, right? So again, that all of these issues are going to play into the next part of the Gemara, as we'll see right now. Okay, so again, the Gemara says, Itmar, Rav Velevi, Chad Omar, Shlichas Yad, Tzricha Chisaron, V'chad Omar, Shlichas Yad, Eina Tzricha Chisaron. The Gemara now circles back to an issue that we just referenced before. It's going to spend basically the rest of today's daf discussing this issue, which is, again, what is the scope, or what are the parameters of this issur of Shlichas Yad? When we say that a shomer is not allowed to use or misappropriate an item that he's guarding, does that only refer to a scenario where he's causing financial loss to the item, or no? Even if he uses it in such a way where there is no financial loss, perhaps even there he's chayav. So the Gemara explains, Tistayim de Ravu de Amar Shlichas Yad in a Tzricha Chisaron. The Gemara wants to suggest that Rav is the Amora who says that Shlichas Yad is violated even when there's no financial loss. Tisanya, Roe Shahaya Roe Edro, Vihiniach Edro Uva Lair, Uva Ze'ev Vitaraf, Uva Ari Vidaras Pater, Hiniach Maklo Visar Milo Aleha Chayav. The Gemara quotes a Brisa that makes the following distinction. The Brisa says as follows. Let's say the guy is a shepherd, and the shepherd is watching a whole bunch of sheep, his own sheep, other people's sheep, whatever it is. And the guy gets bored. He says, you know what, I'm going to go into the city. I'm bored sitting here watching my sheep. And he leaves for a couple of hours. And then he comes back and he finds out that a lion or a wolf went ahead and attacked the flock and killed a bunch of sheep that were not necessarily his own. They belonged to other people. So in that case, the Braisa says that the shepherd's putter. Why is he putter? Because it's an onus. Even if the shepherd was around, it's not like he could have stopped the lion from killing the sheep. So he's going to be putter for that. However, the Braisa does add one caveat, which is that if the shepherd placed his like staff or stick or his satchel or his bag or purse, whatever, on top of one of the sheep that he was watching that wasn't his own sheep, and then the sheep got attacked, then he's going to be chayav. That's a violation of shlichus yad. So asks the Gemara, v'havinan ba, mishum dihiniach maklo v'sarmilu aleha chayav ha-shaklinu. Why does the fact that the shepherd places his satchel or his staff on top of the sheep that he's watching make him chayav when the sheep gets attacked by a wolf or a lion? You could easily just take the satchel or stick off of the sheep. It's not like he has to keep it on there forever. So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravu, Amar Rav. The case where the shepherd is chayav is where the satchel or the staff or whatever it is still on the sheep. So asks the Gemara, V'chi odin aleha mayave, halo mashcha. The Gemara says, okay, but who cares that the satchel or the staff is still remaining on the sheep that he's watching, and now you're claiming that he's violating shlichus yad? But how could this be a violation of shlichus yad if, after all, the shepherd never did meshicha? He never pulled the sheep. He never acquired the sheep vis-a-vis being responsible for any liability that occurs to it. So why then would he be responsible for this? The Amar of Shmuel Barav Yitzchak Amarav, Shehikisha b'makel v'ratzta lefanav v'halo chasra. So the only way to explain this, says the Gemara, why the shepherd is chayav in a case where his satchel or his staff was on the sheep when the sheep got attacked, it must be that he took his staff and he hit the sheep and the sheep ran as a result of his actions, right? In other words, even though he didn't technically do a meshicha, but that also qualifies as a form of a meshicha. Let's say, for example, if you beckon to an animal to come to you and the animal walks to you, or you take your stick or your whip and the animal moves as a result, that also qualifies as a meshicha. You don't have to literally pull at the animal in order to qualify as a meshicha. Now, you acquire the animal in terms of liability, but by hitting the animal with the stick, it's not like you're causing a decrease in the value of the animal, and yet we're still assuming that the shepherd is going to be chayav for anything that happens to the sheep after the fact. So Gemara says, "Ela lav shmamina kasavar shlichus yad ena tzricha chisaru." Doesn't this prove that Rav is the one who says that shlichus yad doesn't require any financial loss? All he did was hit the animal. The animal ran as a result, and now once, if the lion attacks the animal after the fact, he's chayav. Why is he chayav? Because even though the original shlichus yad didn't have any sort of financial loss built into it, it doesn't matter. Shlichus yad doesn't require chisaron, and that's why the shepherd is going to be chayav. So the Gemara pushes back on this. The Gemara says, "Not true. Ema shehikisha b'makel." In other words, the correct girsa in the braisa is not shehikisha, that the shepherd hit the sheep, but rather shehikisha, that he weakened the sheep. Now, weakening the sheep assumes that there is a financial loss. In other words, he hit the sheep in such a way, he beat the sheep in such a way that there actually was a financial loss involved. And if anything, that seems to indicate that Rav holds that shlichus yad specifically does require a chisaron in order for the shomer, or in this case, the shepherd, to be chayav. And in fact, the Gemara says dekanami dekatani shehikisha b'makel shmamina. In fact, this distinction is borne out from the language of the braisa, because it says specifically that the shepherd hit the sheep with the stick. In other words, if the Bryson was trying to highlight a scenario that the shepherd basically moved the animal along without weakening it, without causing any sort of financial loss to the value of the sheep, it shouldn't have given such an extreme example where the shepherd hit the sheep with the stick. Hitting with the stick assumes that it's causing the sheep's value to deteriorate. It's causing some kind of a wound or an injury on the sheep. So the Gemara says, you see that clearly from here that Rav actually assumes that you only violate shlichus yad when there's actually a chisaron, when there's actually a financial loss built in. So the obvious inference is, umi derav savar shlichus yad tzricha chisaron, Levi savar shlichus yad ena tzricha chisaron, my time of the Levi. Now obviously Levi has to disagree, because the Gemara presented this as a machlokes between Rav and Levi. So now we've just concluded that Rav is the one who says that you only violate shlichus yad when there's a financial loss involved. So then Levi by definition disagrees with that. Why does Levi disagree? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosi ben Nehorai, Mishuna Shlichus Yad Ha'amura B'Shomer Sachar, Mishlichus Yad Ha'amura B'Shomer Chinam, Va'ani Omer Ena Mishuna. The Gemara gives a very cryptic statement that Rabbi Yochanan quoted to the name of Rabbi Yosi ben Nehorai, who suggests that there's a fundamental difference between the concept of Shlichus Yad that's stated in the context of a Shomer Sachar versus the prohibition of Shlichus Yad in the context of a Shomer Chinam. The Torah in Parashas Mishpatim specifies the concept of Shlichus Yad both by a Shomer Chinam and by a Shomer Sachar. But Rabbi Yochanan himself disagrees and says, no, that they're not so fundamentally different. What does that mean? Umay Mishuna, lo tomar Shlichus Yad b'Shomer Sachar, v'sei semi Shomer Chinam, uma Shomer Chinam shepater b'gneva v'aveda, shalach v'yad chayav, Shomer Sachar, shechayav b'gneva v'aveda lo kol shekin. So the Gemara suggests the following. This is the original statement of Rabbi Yossi ben Nehorai that Rabbi Yochanan will eventually dispute. But Rabbi Yossi ben Nehorai says the following. He says that, in what sense is Shlichus Yad by a Shomer Sachar so different from Shlichus Yad by a Shomer Chinam? So he says, really, the Torah did not need to write the concept of Shlichus Yad by a Shomer Sachar, and I could have inferred it from a simple Kal V'Chomer from a Shomer Chinam. What's the simple logic? What's the simple Kal V'Chomer? Because we know, of course, that a Shomer Chinam has the lowest degree of liability of any Shomer. He's only Chaya for Pshia, only Chaya for negligence. He's not Chaya for Geneva Va'aveda. So if a Shomer Chinam claims that the item was stolen, so he's putter. However, if a Shomer Chinam does Shlichus Yad, if he misappropriates the item, he uses the item when he's not supposed to, he's chayav for that. So then Kal V'Chomer, a Shomer Sachar, who is chayav for Geneva Va'aveda, should certainly be chayav for Shlichus Yad. So the question then becomes, L'may Hilchasa Kasvinu Rachmana? What was the purpose of the Torah writing a separate prohibition of Shlichus Yad in the context of a Shomer Sachar? Isn't it just a logical Kal V'Chomer that we could have derived from a Shomer Chinam? Says the Gemara, no. Lomer L'cha Shlichus Yad Eina Tzricha Chisaron. So comes Rabbi Yossi ben Nehorai and says, the only way to explain why it is that the Torah felt the necessity to write Shlichus Yad as a separate entity, as a separate prohibition in the context of a Shomer Sachar, is clearly because the Torah assumes that Shlichus Yad does not require a Chisar, which is obviously a Chiddush, but that's why the Torah had to write it a second time, to highlight this idea that even when there's no financial loss involved, you would still be in violation of Shlichus Yad. However, Rabbi Yochanan disputes this, Va'ani Omer Eina Meshuna, Ki Rabbi Elazar De Omer David Da'achasi, My David Achas Mishum the Ikal Mifrach Malish Omer Chinam Shekein Mishalim Tashlume Kefel B'Toin Tainas Ganav. So the Gemara says like this: Rabbi Yochanan himself pushes back based on a statement of Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar assumes that actually, that we were under the misimpression that a Shomer Sachar is always more stringent than a Shomer Chinam, because that, you know, because usually that's the case. Usually a Shomer Chinam is only Chaya for Pshia, Shomer Sachar is also Chaya for Geneva Va'aveda. However, Rabbi Elazar points out that there is one area, one scenario in which a Shomer Chinam is actually more stringent than a Shomer Sachar, and that's a case that we discussed many, many times back in Maseches Bava Kama, that's called Toing Tainas Gana. Toing Tainas Gana means the following. Let's say a Shomer Chinam puts forth a claim of Ganavti. He says, the item I was washing was stolen, which, if it were true, obviously means that he's going to be putter from paying. And then what happens? He takes a shvua in Bezdin. He says, yes, it's true that the item was stolen. And then 5 minutes later, he feels bad about it, that he lied, and he fesses up and says, actually, I swore falsely, and really, I took the item for myself. So that's what we call towing tainas ganav. He puts forth a claim of Geneva, and then he backtracks and admits that he was lying. So the halacha is, in that case, the shomer chinam is actually chayav to pay kefal himself. He's chayav to pay kefal in a case of towing tainas ganav. That halacha does not apply to a shomer sachar, obviously, by definition, because if a shomer sachar ever claimed Geneva, he ever claimed Ganavti, he would be chayav right away, because that claim doesn't work for a Shomer Sachar. So in other words, Rabbi Yochanan's deflection against Rabbi Yossi's claim is that there's one area of halacha in which a Shomer Chinam is actually more stringent than a Shomer Sachar, and therefore you can't make the argument that, well, had the Torah only written Shlichus Yad by a Shomer Chinam, I could have easily extrapolated to a Shomer Sachar. It's not true, because maybe you could have argued Shomer Chinam in one respect is in fact more stringent than a Shomer Sachar, and therefore I have no right to derive from one to the other. That's why the Torah had to write Shlichus Yad both by a Shomer Sachar and by a Shomer Chinam. So how would Rabbi Yossi ben Nehorai respond to this? Uman delo parich savar karna belo shivua adifa mikvela b'shivua. Rabbi Yossi's response to this very simply would be that yes, it's true that there is a circumstance in theory in which a Shomer Chinam is more stringent than a Shomer Sachar, but at the end of the day, Shomer Sachar overall is going to be more stringent. Why? Because anytime a Shomer Sachar claims Ganavti, that the item is stolen, right there and then he's going to be chayav. Now, yes, it's true that in theory, a Shomer Chinam could have a scenario in which he lies about the item being stolen and eventually could have to pay kefel, but that's not as normal of a circumstance. It's a much more, in other words, that case is much less likely to occur. So because the case is not quite as normal as the scenario of the Shomer Sachar, it doesn't qualify as making Shomer Chinam more stringent than Shomer Sachar, even though in theory there is one potential application of that. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Lo Tomar Shlichus Yad, Lo B'Shomer Chinam, V'Lo B'Shomer Sachar, V'Sei Sei Mishoel, Uma Shoel, Diladaz Bailim Ka'avid, Shalach Bayad Chaya, Shomer Chinam, B'Shomer Sachar, Lo Kol Shagin. So then the Gemara takes a second approach here. The Gemara says, perhaps the Torah should have omitted the concept of Shlichus Yad, both by a Shomer Chinam and by a Shomer Sachar, and it could have only written it in the context of a Shoel, and I would have made the following Kal V'Chomer. When it comes to a Shoel, so a Shoel, as we know, is obviously the exception when it comes to the Shomerim, because he's allowed to use the item, which is not the case for the other Shomerim. So the Shoel can use the item, obviously he has the owner's knowledge, the owner's consent when using the item, and yet, the halacha is that if he does Shlichus Yad, if he uses the item in such a way that he was never authorized to use it, he is chai. For example, we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. Let's say, for example, someone borrowed an animal, but the owner, you know, clearly told the guy, you can only take the animal in certain areas, not on hills, not in mountains, not in an area that have, whatever, that has, thinner air pressure, whatever it is, and the guy violated the terms of the agreement, and the animal died, or whatever, so he's going to be liable for that, for breaking the agreement. So a shoel, most of the time, is allowed to do what he wants with the animal that he's borrowing, because that was part of the agreement, but if he violates the terms of the agreement, that's a violation of Shlichus Yad. So I would say, Kal V'Chomer, for a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar, who are never allowed to use an item under any circumstance, so Kal V'Chomer there should be Chaya for Shlichus Yad. What's the point? Why does the Torah feel the need to write Shlichus Yad at all by a Shomer Chinam and a Shomer Sachar? Couldn't the Torah just have written it by a Shoel, and I would have extrapolated to Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar? Lama Nemar. So the Gemara says, Chada Lomer Lecha, Shlichus Yad Ein Tzrich Chizaru. So the first is to teach me, again, this idea that we keep on coming back to, that you violate Shlichus Yad even when there's no financial loss involved. The Idach, Shelo Tomer, Dayu Lebamin Adin Lios Kanido, Mashol Bebayim Lepater, and the second reference of Shlichus Yad is to dispel a potential Hava Amina that I would have extrapolated based on the famous principle of Dayo that we discussed also extensively back in the Seches Bava Kama, right? Dayo is basically the idea that whenever I'm deriving a halacha from something else, that the original source of the derivation is going to limit or pump the brakes on the extrapolation. For example, if I were to try and derive the law of Shlichus Yad from Shoel and say Shoel is the paradigm, the Torah, let's say, in theory, would have only written Shlichus Yad by Shoel. And now I'm going to extrapolate to Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar. The problem is that I might have placed a limitation on that, because there's another exception when it comes to Shoel that we haven't really discussed so much yet in this Masechta. We discussed already Mesa Machmas Malacha. Mesa Machmas Malacha, we know the animal dies while working, the Shoel is putter. But there's a second exception, which we'll discuss more later in the Masechta, that's called Bailav Imo. Bailav Imo means that if the Shoel happens to be the employer of the person he's borrowing from, let's say your boss asks to borrow an item from you, so then if anything happens to the item, he's going to be pater. That's a special chiddush on Torah called Bailav Imo. So I could have argued, had the Torah only written Shlichus Yad by a Shoel, and now I'm going to use Shoel as a paradigm, I'm going to try to extrapolate to Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, I could have argued, based on the principle of Dayo, that, in other words, in those applications, we should also invoke this kula called Bailav Imo, and that if it happens to be that the Shomer happens to be the employer, lawyer, so then perhaps he should also be putter in that scenario. So then the Gemara says, okay, Ulamanda Amar Shlichus Yad Shricha Chisaron. Okay, what if you take the other approach? What if you think that Shlichus Yad does require a chisaron, that it does require a financial loss in order for the shomer to be chayav? How do you explain the necessity for writing Shlichus Yad twice? So again, chada shelo tomer dayal levamin adin lios kinidon. So one is for what we just said a second ago, to dispel this hava amina that I would have thought from dayo. The idach lechidesanya v'nekrav bal habayis el ha'elohim l'shvua ata omer l'shvua o eno elo l'din nemer Shlichus Yad l'mata v'nemer Shlichus Yad l'mala mala halon. And the second reference of Shlichus Yad is to teach me that when the Torah says that the Shomer and the Baal Din and the litigant, the owner, come to Beis Din, it doesn't just mean that they come to litigate. It means that the Shomer has to take a Shvua, affirming and swearing that they didn't use the item, that Shelo Shalach Yad B'Mleches Re'eyu, that they didn't actually use the item in a way that they weren't supposed to. So the Gemara says that's what we're deriving from the second mention of Shlichus Yad.